Tim Bresolotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. Tim, always wonderful to have you with us. You always clear things up, at least in my foggy head. So let's begin by asking this question. I read a piece that said that Mr. Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, is doing very well. Now, my position has always been that all Republican governors who get elected have to be sort of Democratic Republicans. Is that right?
That's certainly true. Massachusetts has a history of electing what we would call Chamber of Commerce Republicans, not ideologues, to serve in the corner office as governor. And one could certainly make that argument for Charlie Baker, that's for sure.
It doesn't appear that the Democratic bench has a lot to take him on. Is that right?
I think that's a fair assessment right now. There's one declared Democrat, a member of Deval Patrick's cabinet, Jay Gonzalez, who had been Patrick's Secretary of Administration and Finance. And it's interesting because he's almost a doppelganger for Charlie Baker in that his most recent work had been in healthcare as an executive for a healthcare company. He had also chaired the board of the Massachusetts Health Connector, which implemented healthcare reform in Massachusetts. So he's in some ways very similar to Baker in terms of his professional background. Baker had been a cabinet member in Republican administrations and had come out of the healthcare field as well. Where they're different, Baker's got $4.8 million in his campaign account right now. I checked before we began this conversation. Gonzalez has about $100,000 in his campaign account.
And all of that is peanuts compared to the 22 or 27 that Andrew Cuomo.
Pretty modest.
Yeah, in New York, yeah.
The Democratic field is far from filled out. There are a lot of folks making noise out there. The mayor of Newton, Seti Warren, he had run in the special election to fill the Senate seat left over after the death of Senator Kennedy. He finished far out of the pack in that race. But he's maintained a public profile. He's been very active in the Democratic state caucus season this spring. He's made some noises about running. A former state senator from out on the Cape, Dan Wolf, who is very much admired by progressives in the Democratic Party, no longer in the Senate, made his fortune as CEO of a small airline that flies between the Cape and Islands and Logan. He may be getting into the race as well. And with this sort of surge of Democratic activism in the state since the Trump victory, it may be that this is a cycle that's going to work against Charlie Baker as hard as he is trying to navigate that awkward balancing act between being a Republican governor and yet in a blue state. Let me offer as an anecdotal observation one of the decisions that Baker made recently, which was that if the healthcare repeal and replace efforts include cutting off federal funding for Planned Parenthood, Baker announced that the state of Massachusetts would offset that loss. That cut would be about $2 million a year for the five Planned Parenthood clinics in Massachusetts. That's almost 10% of the budget for those clinics. It comes in the form of Medicaid reimbursements from the federal government. Baker, who is pro-choice, has said these clinics offer essential services for poor and working-class women and that the state would make up the loss. Well, that's a pretty daring approach for a Republican governor to make. Makes total sense, though, here in Massachusetts.
Well, I want to get on to Elizabeth Warren, but before we do, I want to mention that Donald Trump has offered a deal to Planned Parenthood. Give up the abortion, and you can have your money for the rest of Planned Parenthood. That's what he's saying. Planned Parenthood, to their great credit, in my opinion, said, yeah, no, forget that, Charlie. And so I have a question for you. Have you polled on abortion, or do we have Massachusetts statistics about how Massachusetts residents break down on the right for a woman to have an abortion?
Our polling in this area has been more along the lines of what is the most important problem facing Massachusetts today, or what are the factors that would guide your choices in an election for governor or Senate. I have to say, abortion is not a highly salient issue in terms of Massachusetts because there's so much consensus around it, in the sense that it is rare to see a Republican statewide candidate who is opposed to abortion, because the understanding is that in Massachusetts that would be a non-starter. So we don't see it play the role that this issue plays in other parts of the country.
Okay, so let's talk about Elizabeth Warren now, one of the most popular of the populists. You know, you got Bernie, you got Elizabeth Warren. Those are the two who seem to have the greatest followings. And I read a piece, I think in the Times, maybe somewhere else, that said that she had raised an enormous amount of money. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren will be up for re-election in 2018. She's already announced her plans to seek a second term. And she is a prodigious fundraiser for the Democratic Party. She has spent a lot of time and did so in 2016 as well, raising money for down-ticket candidates and for the party itself. And she's got the magic touch. I mean, she raised and spent $42 million in terms of her Senate candidacy in 2012, and she has remained a prodigious fundraiser for the party since then. And in fact, her most recent moment in the spotlight, when she was shut down in her attempts to read a letter from Coretta Scott King during the confirmation proceedings for Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, and the Senate invoked a rule that you could not criticize a fellow senator during the debate, and she was shut down. That was a fundraising opportunity in the end, in terms of folks who found this distasteful, that a senator was silenced in what had been described as the greatest deliberative body in the world. And her campaign went along with it and sent a fundraising appeal, and it was very successful. And so it says two things. She occupies a very influential role in the Democratic Party nationally and will continue to do so. And it also signals to any would-be opponents in 2018 that they'll have their hands full, that she will have the resources that she needs to run a credible and effective campaign in Massachusetts. And that is reflected in that there aren't really a lot of big names, if any, emerging at the moment to take on Elizabeth Warren next year.
Unless they're crazy. And here is my next, and we only have about a minute and a half now, but Elizabeth Warren for president. Why not?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things. Massachusetts is not really the cradle of Democratic presidents. We can point to a number of examples where very popular Democrats in Massachusetts have not fared well. And I think, although Elizabeth Warren has made some very deliberate choices that raise hopes for her supporters, like getting a seat on the Senate Armed Services Committee and staffing up with experts on defense and foreign policy, it'd be a tough slog, and she knows it, and so she is. Not ruling anything out in terms of her public statements. I think there is a perception, at least in the party, that it's time to build the bench and look for some other candidates. But we'll see. We'll see. Her fundraising prowess is hard to match. So time will tell.
We have been talking to Tim Versalotti, a great guy, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. And Tim, we always love it when you're with us because you speak so reasonably. Thanks again for being with us. When we come back the next time, let's talk about Richie Neal and Ways and Means a little bit.